FM
A
I
F M
U
M
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. This week on Main Menu, we bring you a presentation all about Macintosh and iTunes. John Gunn returns to Main Menu this week and gives us a 45-minute presentation on the new advancements made by Apple, all about iTunes with voiceover. And then we'll hear from R.J. Cooper. They're going to be talking to us tonight all about Thunder on a Stick. On the Main Menu Live segment this week, we'll be bringing on Rick Harmon and my co-host Daryl Shandro, along with R.J. from R.J. Cooper & Associates, to talk to us all about Thunder on a Stick. You'll be able to call in and ask any questions that you have all about Thunder and the products associated with R.J. Cooper and Associates. That's what's coming up this week on ACB Radio's Main Menu.
Hello, this is John Gunn, and today I'm going to do a demo using iTunes with a Macintosh. Right now, I'm using an iBook G4, and some of the things you're going to hear me reference Vokeys, which in conjunction is which is really the control key and option on the keyboard. For a further description of that, I've done some previous recordings using the Mac, so you might want to refer to those, but that's kind of how we navigate. iTunes has gone through some remarkable changes, I think, for accessibility using the Mac. By the way, today's date is March 18th, 2007. And I think yesterday, the 17th, Mac just did another update on iTunes. And you're going to see a lot where I will access various options of when I want to do a playlist or whatever the case is, on just using the tab or actually the up and down arrow keys, and this is without the Vokeys, so it's very accessible from what it used to be. But first of all, I'm going to take you through the menus a little bit of iTunes, and to access the menus, I'm going to do Control F2.
Apple.
Which brings me to my Apple menu, and that course various items in there, but the things we really want to be concerned with, I'm not going to go through the preferences, but I'm going to right now Vokeys right arrow
items file,
and we're going to go under file,
new playlist command n,
of course that means there's nothing there to select at all.
New smart playlist ellipsis command option n.
That's a new smart playlist.
New folder command shift option n. Add to library ellipsis command o. Close window command w. Import ellipsis command shift o. Export ellipsis. Export library ellipsis. Backup to disk ellipsis. Get info dimmed command I.
Now, get info is generally for the Windows user, it's like right clicking on it or bringing up your application key or Shift F10.
My radio submenu dimmed.
We'll go through that a little bit later on.
Edit smart playlist dimmed. Show in finder dimmed. Command R.
Now, I think show in finder means in your file search.
Show current song dimmed. Command L. Burn playlist to disk dimmed.
Now, when this is says dimmed, of course, that's grayed out.
Create an iMix ellipsis dimmed. Sync iPod dimmed.
Sync iPod, I'm not sure what the iMix is, but Sync iPod, it's pretty standard. I think we all know what an iPod is.
Transfer purchases from iPod dimmed.
And that's if you buy music from the iTunes store.
Page setup ellipsis.
That's
print ellipsis command P.
Okay, so that's under your file menu. No, I'm going, I was Vokeys up down arrow at this point. But we'll go up, I'm going Vokeys up arrow now here. That's file. We're going to go Vokey right arrow to edit. Undo, Command Z. Now you notice in Windows that's always usually Control Z or Control X for cut. Of course, in the Macintosh, that's using your command. Incidentally, your command key is the same as your Alt, is like your Alt key in Windows.
Copy, dimmed, Command C, paste, dimmed, Command V, delete, dimmed, select all, Command A, select none, dimmed, Command Shift A, special characters, ellipsis.
Now, I don't know what that is all about, but so I'm gonna, that's the end of this for the edit. So that's your edit menu.
Controls.
And again, to go under your controls, I'm going to Vokey left arrow again.
Controls.
I then right arrow, and I'm going to do Vokey's down again.
Play space.
Next.
Command right arrow. Previous, dimmed, command left arrow. Next chapter, dimmed, command shift right arrow.
Now, I don't know if that's playing a DVD or not, but...
Previous chapter, dimmed, command shift left arrow. Shuffle, check mark. Repeat off, check mark. Repeat all. Repeat when. Volume up, command up arrow. Volume down, command down arrow. Mute, command option down arrow. Eject disk, command E. Eject disk.
Okay, so that's under the controls menu.
Shift, pre-next, play controls.
We're back up on the controls. I'm going to go Vol key right arrow again.
View.
Hide
browser, Command D.
That's hiding your browser.
Hide artwork, Command G. Show mini store, Command Shift M. Show equalizer. Turn on visualizer, Command T. Visualizer, submenu.
We'll go into this one here. And what I'm doing to access that submenu, I'll get Vol key right arrow.
Options, ellipsis.
And that's options.
Options, ellipsis.
I'm going to go Vokey left arrow again to get under
list view. Command option 3. Album view. Command option 4. Cover flow view. Command option 5. Half size. Dimmed. Command 0. Actual size. Dimmed. Command 1. Double size. Dimmed. Command 2. Fit to screen. Dimmed. Command 3. Full screen. Dimmed. Command F. Show duplicates. View options, ellipsis, Command J. View options,
so we're going to go and vote now again in that menu. So I'm going to go up again now.
Hide artwork, hide view. Store.
Store, that's your iTunes.
Search, ellipsis.
Search.
Home, Command Shift page. Previous page, dimmed.
Now to access this menu again, I vote key right arrow.
Next page, dimmed, Command right bracket. Check for purchases, ellipsis.
No, I didn't create a an iTunes account. There's been other podcasts on this, creating an iTunes account or purchasing songs, but that's not what we're going to do for this demo here.
Authorize computer, ellipsis.
Now, authorize computer, I would imagine, is going to ask for the password, so we won't worry about that at this point.
Deauthorize computer, ellipsis. Sign in, ellipsis. Create account, ellipsis. Create account,
and that's,
ellipsis.
Again, you're creating an account, but we're not going
to... Advanced.
Advanced, we're going to go, again, access your advanced, I would Vokey right arrow again.
Open stream, ellipsis, Command U.
Now, that's for your podcast, I believe.
Subscribe to podcast, ellipsis.
Okay, that's...
Open stream, ellipsis, Command U.
If I knew the URL for a stream, that's where I would type it in.
Subscribe to podcast, ellipsis.
If I want to subscribe to a podcast, I can paste in the URL right there.
Convert selection to MP3, dimmed. Convert ID 3 text ellipsis, dimmed.
Now let me back up here.
Convert selection to MP3, dimmed.
Now if I were to import a CD, and I'm going to explain this in a few minutes, right now it would be a CD, then I could select all and convert those selections to an MP3 file.
Convert ID 3 text ellipsis, dimmed. Consolidate library ellipsis.
Now again I'm going down, just arrowing down here, Vokey down here.
Get album artwork. Get CD track names, dimmed.
Now, that's kind of nice because Get CD Track Names, it will actually give you the name of the CD, and I'll show you this because I did import a CD earlier here.
Submit CD Track Names, dimmed.
Now, I presume that's for the web. I'm not quite sure on that.
Join CD Tracks, dimmed. Deauthorize Audible account, ellipsis.
And that's pretty obvious for Audible.
Get convert,
and I'm going up, back up to Advanced here.
Window.
And your window, again, right arrow.
Minimize, Command M.
Minimize.
Zoom, Control Z, items, check mark, command option 1, equalizer, command option 2, bring out to front, bring out to front,
okay.
Help.
And that's now going to invoke your right arrow to help.
Items help, command question mark, items service and support, keyboard shortcuts, iPod help, iPod service and support, Apple TV help. Apple TV.
Okay, so that really does the menus at this point. So I'm just getting escape to get out of this here. now at this point, I can use my tab key, and here's what we're going to see.
Blank search text.
That's your search text.
Browser.
That's your browser.
All 10 artists.
Now this is what's actually in there right now, and this is, well, you'll see in a minute.
One album. Songs outline. Sources outline.
Now, the songs, and again, I'm just using my actual tab key, nothing else. I'm going to shift tab again.
Songs outline.
That's songs.
Sources outline.
Now, sources, let's see what we have in our sources, and really what this is, iTunes have put some defaults in here.
Movies, playlist.
Movies, you can add them to this playlist.
TV shows, playlist.
TV shows, the same thing.
Podcasts, playlist.
Now, I'm just doing, actually, down arrow. I'm not using vocal keys or nothing, just your standard arrow keys here.
Radio stream. iTunes Store, playlist.
iTunes Store.
Party Shuffle, playlist.
Now, I think what happens if you import CDs and whatever the case is, those get automatically thrown to the Party Shuffle. And then if you choose that, and I'll explain this, when you choose a source, one of these items from the source, that's what will automatically come up in your list here.
90s music, smart playlist.
And that's, again, these are the different categories under sources now.
90s music, smart playlist. Music videos, smart playlist. Music videos, smart playlist. My top rated, smart playlist. My top rated, smart playlist.
I don't know why that repeats, but...
Top 25 most played, smart playlist. Top 25 most played, audiobooks, playlist.
Audiobooks.
Best of Nat King Cole playlist.
Now, what happened in here is this is what I imported, Best of Nat King Cole. So if I want, I could actually, now I'm going to, I'm not doing anything, you know, anything except with a keyboard. I'm going to shift tab now, or I could tab.
Blank, search text, field songs outline.
And now I'm in my songs outline. If I arrow down here.
The best of Nat King Cole, 8, Nat King Cole, 304, I love you, for sentimental reasons. The best of Nat King Cole, jazz, 0 stars, blank, 1 of 1, 8 of 10, 1997, 3/11/7447, MPEG audio file, blank.
Now there's a lot of information on that. However, the, it's telling us, it's actually track 8 of the CD, and if I were to hit my space bar, and now if I want to bring the volume up on this, and what I did is I did command up arrow, or if I want to bring the volume down, and of course we hear nothing. Now I'm going to voice over what it does. It automatically, it seems, in my experience, it seems to automatically interact with whether I'm on the sources tab or the sources pane or the songs. But I'm going to stop the interaction. Well, I'm going to let this play yet here.
Stop interacting with songs
outline. Now I'm going to vocal key left.
Splitter. Sources outline.
There's the sources again, of course.
Blank. Search text cover flow.
And I'm going vocal key left arrow now here.
Album list button. Text list button. Full volume button. 100.0%.
That's our volume for the...
No,
now what if I want to set this volume? If I want to bring that volume down, I could interact with this volume control.
Interacting with horizontal slider. 97.8876.7%.
And now you can see where the volume come down to that.
67.4%.
So I'm going to stop. And how I interacted with that, I did vocal keys down arrow, or actually vocal key shift down arrow. And to stop interacting, I want vocal key shift up arrow. So I'm going to continue to vocal key left now.
Mute button. Nat King Cole, I love you, for sentimental reasons. 141 elapsed, player status.
Now that's what's playing, and
Nat King Cole, I love you, for sentimental reasons, 149 elapsed, player status.
That's the artist here.
Next button, pause button, previous button, eject button, browse button, burn disk, but 10 songs, 28.9 minutes, 33.3 MB.
Now that's giving your, how many songs are in here, giving you the total play time as well as the megabytes. Which they are, by the way, these are MP3 files.
Hide artwork, but no repeat button. Shuffle button. No playlist button. Artwork image. Show now playing artwork button. Songs outline.
Okay, so I'm back to my songs. And I'm going to bring this up here once here. Now, and of course, you know, we're back here. And there's 10 songs here. Now, if I want to go... Oh, let's say if I want to go to a different song in this list here.
Row 2, the best of Nat King Cole, 4, Nat King Cole, 241, Blossom Fell, the best of
and of course, that gives you time.
Stars,
now, I haven't rated these yet, of course I can.
3/11/7445 PM, MP audio file, blank, blank.
And I'm gonna air up again.
The best of Nat King Cole, 4, Nat King Cole, 241, Blossom Fell, the best of Nat King Cole, jazz, 0 stars, blank.
Now that's the best of Nat King Cole, genres, jazz, and so on and so forth. But let's have one of, the song that's highlighted is a Blossom Fell, so I'll just hit enter. I mean, it really is accessible on this. So we're going to stop this right now. And I'm going to stop this, I do, I can pause this by hitting my space bar. And hitting again, we'll resume it where we left off at. And I'm going to stop it completely here. Now, let's say if I want to create a new playlist, and I'm going to just, I am going to play a new create list. We're just going to call it, let's say, we'll just call it jazz. Or we'll just say, we'll just call it jazz.
New playlist, name playlist, dialog, 4 items, enter name for the playlist.
And what I did is Command N for new playlist.
Untitled playlist, edit text.
And that's the default, untitled. And I'll just spacing everything out there and just make sure the untitled is gone. And I'm going to just type in, how about if we just type in Nat test? I'm going to do it Nat. And sometimes, I don't know why that doesn't say it, but underline or dash test. Whoops, let me do that again once here. Let me try that again once here. Nat test. And what I did is I named that Nat dash test.
Cancel button.
Now I'm going to vol key right arrow just to, and I'm going to vol key left arrow again.
Nat test edit text.
And you can see it. Sometimes it says it, sometimes it doesn't.
Cancel
but
button. Okay button. My previous button.
Okay, now, let's say if I wanted to add. So now we have a new playlist. So what we'll do is we'll go to our
blank search songs outline sources outline.
Now I know the best of that is what we're on, but look, I'm gonna hit
movies playlist best of Nat King Cole playlist.
All right, so that's what's highlighted. I just hit the letter B. Since there's only one in the list here, I'm gonna do this here again now.
Nat test playlist.
And I just hit the letter N for Nat. This is strictly with a keyboard. I'm no voiceover interaction and all on this. But let's go back to Best of Nat.
Best of Nat King Cole playlist.
So now I'm going to go to the, this is the sources again. And now I'm going to go to your songs. And I'm just moving your tab key.
Blank, search songs outline.
And let's say I wanted to, now I'm in the song, to list the songs on this one here.
Row 3, the best of Nat King Cole, 2, Nat King Cole, 255, answer me, my love, the best of Nat King Cole, jazz, zero
okay.
Stars, blank, 1 of 1, 2 of 10.
So again, answer me, my love. But let's, for the Apple key, you can do this pretty easy. You do control and then your mouse click, which is right in the very front of the laptop here. So, now it's a menu, and I'm going to vol keys down arrow.
Get info. submenu, show in Finder, reset play count, reset skip count, convert ID3 tags ellipsis, convert selection to MP3, play next to party shuffle, add to party shuffle, uncheck selection, add to playlist submenu.
Now, add to playlist submenu.
Add to playlist submenu on audiobooks.
Well, I don't want to put her in there.
Movies.
No.
Music.
And I'm, again, vocal downering on this one here.
Net test.
There we go.
Closing menu.
So that's in there. That's in your NAT test. Now, just to, what we'll do is, we're on the best of NAT right now.
Row 4, the best of NAT King Cole 5, NAT King Cole 2, Ford, row 3.
So I'm still in the list of songs.
NAT King Cole 255.
Right now, there we go. That's enough of that here. So now I'm going to go back to my sources.
Sources outline.
So let's go with the NAT test ones here. Now, it didn't tell me that, but if I down arrow again,
party shuffle, play, NAT test, playlist.
And there we go. Now we're in the NAT test playlist.
Blank, search text field, songs outline.
And you'll see, now I'm in the songs outline again, and I just moved my tab key there for this.
Row 1, NAT King Cole, 255, answer me, my love, the best of NAT King Cole, jazz, 0 stars, 3/17/7/231/10.
And if I hit enter, or my return key, I should say. And we can see that it's in there. And that works out kind of slick. So, but what if I want to go back to the best of NAT? I can just actually do this here while this song is playing. I can shift tab. And I'll go B for best of NAT. And I'm back to this playlist. And that's what we started off with on this here. Now, what I want to do is, I don't want to have the shuffle on, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to shut that shuffle off. It's under controls. And Volkey down arrow.
Command shift right arrow, repeat off, repeat all, repeat win, volume up, volume down, mute, command eject disk, eject disk.
I don't want to see it's not in your controls.
Off, check mark, shuffle, check mark.
And.
Show NAT test, playlist.
There. Now, it did stay NAT test, but that's not.
Blank, search text, songs outline.
But we'll, to double check, again, right now I'm just using the tab key here.
Sources outline.
And we'll go to best of NAT again. Well, that is, I think VoiceOver kind of gets confused on that. Sometimes it, I don't know if it keeps things in memory on that, but anyway, that's how you play from a source and how you created a playlist. And I'm not going to go get very much involved in this, but, or really in depth in this, but I want to explain a little bit about, what it can do here. Now, we're going to stop this here. No, we're not going to do that here. Let's stop this here. I'm going to do command period, which actually stops the play. And I'm going to delete that. I want to delete that NAT test because I'm not going to use that.
NAT test playlist.
And if I do control click.
Export song list.
And I'm going Volkey down arrow.
Burn playlist to disk. Delete. Delete. 4 items. Are you sure you want to delete the playlist? NAT test. Do not ask
and
me again.
What I'm doing is I'm Volkey right arrow again.
Cancel button. Delete button.
And I'm going to delete it.
My songs outline.
And now again, I'm in my songs yet, but I just want to explain how that playlist can be deleted. Now, a little bit about a CD. There's options in the preferences where you can import a CD. It'll automatically, and I believe it creates its own list, actually, from the CD. And, you know, you can, we viewed part of the, where you can get the CD track names and whatever, and it does actually have the album on there. Now, it automatically did create the playlist of Best of Nat King Cole, and this was a compilation from 1997. At least obviously the songs are older than that, since he's been passed on, what, 63, I believe. But, and you can add those songs however you want. You can create your playlist, as you can tell. And again, right, you know, for the most part, this is definitely, you know, using your arrow keys or your tab key. Now, let's go back to sources here.
Sources outline.
And again, what I was saying, it seems that when you go into your sources or your songs, VoiceOver automatically interacts with it. In other words, it automatically shift or control or vol keys, and again, that's your control option keys, shift then down arrow, which causing interaction. It's kind of like routing the mouse a little bit, I think, to some degree. So I'm in this. Now, I want to go, what I think is really kind of neat here is the radio streaming. So I only have one in my sources beginning with R. And if I had and these are your different playlists, but let's say if I had one called Rock and then one is definitely called Radio, I could go R-O and it'll automatically land on my Rock source. And I could tab over and play my songs in that playlist. But however, we only have one for radio, or one beginning with R, so I'll just hit the letter R.
Radio stream.
And again, this is strictly the keyboard, no interaction with any other keys. Now I'm gonna use my tab key now here.
Songs outline.
And here's where we can see different streams in here. I'm going to do vol keys left and right here.
Show now play network button. Songs
outline. We want to interact here because we're going to
interact with songs outline on folder row 1. Status blank name 50/60s pop comment blank blank 50/60s pop collapsed.
Levels. Now that means collapsed. And what that is, think of it as a tree view. So that's not open yet. But let's see. I'm going to stop interacting with this here for a minute. I'm going to go vol key left arrow again now. Yeah, that doesn't do what I thought it wanted to do. However,
100.0% volume slider. Songs
now I'm going to interact with your songs out again.
Unselected folder row 1. Status blank name 50/60s pop comment blank fit blank collapsed.
I'm voing right, voing left arrows here.
50/60s pop collapsed.
50/60s pop. If I want to expand that, I can. But I want to take it down to something a little bit different. Let's see what I can do here. These are the different categories. 50/60s.
70/80s pop collapsed. Levels.
Again, when it means collapsed, that list is not opened up. And I'll explain how to open that in a couple minutes here.
Alternative collapsed. Level 0. Ambient collapsed. Level 0. Blues collapsed. Level 0. Classic rock collapsed. Level 0. Classical collapsed. Levels country collapsed. Level 0. Eclectic collapsed.
Okay, well, let's say if I want to know the category that I want. I enjoy jazz. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit J.
Folder row 14 blank jazz blank.
And vol key right arrow just to make sure
collapsed.
We got here.
Levels jazz collapsed.
That vol key left arrow again. Now if I want to open this up here, I'm going to do vol keys /.
Expanding jazz 0 items enclosed.
Now there are items that there.
Expanded folder, row 14, blank, jazz, blank.
Now there's a particular station that I kind of like. It's called KPLU, and I believe it's out of the Tacoma, Washington area. So if I just hit KP.
Row 37, blank, KPLU, world class jazz, 24 hours a day.
And if I do a vol key right arrow on this, it might.
Jazz 24 hours a day.
Okay, I didn't do anything there. But some of these will give you an actual, and I'll show you a little bit more of a description on these in a little bit here. But let's if I want to play this, I hit return.
Row 37.
Support for KPLU comes from the Executive MBA program.
And I just hit control to stop the voice. And this is your typical, and sometimes on some of these categories, you'll hear Live 365, and that's how that goes on that. But we'll, and well, I can actually, what I did is I did command down arrow to bring down the volume. And now this is actually streaming from KPLU. Now I'm going to bring down the volume a little bit here, because I want to show you, I'm going to stop the interacting on this here.
Stop interacting with Sun's outline.
I'm going to vocal key, well, let's vocal key right.
Show now playing artwork, image, new playlist, but dim button, hide artwork, 50 streams.
Now that tells me 50 streams. That's under this category.
Eject button, previous but pause button, next button, KPLU, 106 elapsed, player status.
That's 106, of course, that's here in a minute and 6 seconds and so on and so forth, so.
Next, pause button, previous, eject button, 50
and I'm Volkey left arrow again here.
Hide artwork, dim button, new playlist button, artwork, image, show now playing artwork, songs outline.
So I'm back to my songs.
Interact with songs outline on selected row 37, status, play, name, KPLU, comment, world class jazz 24 hours a day, play.
Okay, so that's obviously what's playing. So I'm going to stop this right here. And I'm going to vocal key. We're interacting yet, so I'm going to... If you need to expand a category or collapse it, you really need to use your vocal keys up and down arrow to get to the top of the folder.
Blank,
so
blank,
I'm...
Blank.
Whoops.
Forever cool. Blank. We love smooth jazz. FM5 to a blank. FM
5280
smooth jazz.
Okay, now FM, and I'll vocal right here on this now.
We love smooth jazz, contemporary jazz, artists such as Peter White, Rick Brown, Richard Elliott, Dave Cousin, the greats like Grover Washington, Jr. and Ramsey Lewis. We play smooth jazz all day and all night to smooth out your listening experience.
Yeah, of course, that's, you know.
FM 5280 smooth jazz.
I'm going to vocal key up again now.
FAI radio, Etherbeat radio, Etherbeat radio, dimensions in jazz, DI.FM, DI.Bass, smooth, attention span, radio, attention span, absolutely smooth jazz on absolutely 181.FM.
And again, I'm going vocal keying up arrow here.
MUSIK number, MUSIK jazz expanded.
Now, I want to get to a different folder, or a different genre, I should say, a different category. So I'm going to do vocal keys backslash again.
Folder, row 14, play targeted, jazz, blank, Latino, collapsed, jazz, collapsed, level
okay,
zero.
Latino, that's pretty obvious.
Latino, collapsed, pop, collapsed,
pop.
Levels of public, collapsed,
public, excuse me, you can probably imagine what that's going to encompass, public radio, you know, your NPR, and all this interesting stuff.
Reggae, collapsed,
reggae is pretty obvious.
Religious, collapsed,
religious,
level zero, rock, collapsed,
rock,
level zero. Talk slash spoken word collapsed, level zero.
Talk, spoken word. Now, I'm going to open up this category, and you'll understand why in just a minute here.
Expandy, talk slash spoken, expanded folder, row 21, blank, talk slash spoken word, blank, expanded, talk slash spoken word, expanded. Zero items and post.
Now I'm gonna vocal key down arrow again here.
Number MUSIK.main on RAUTMUSIK.FM.
Now I'm gonna vocal key right arrow.
Number MUSIK.
Okay, that does. Some of these have a description, some don't.
Number MUSIK.main on RAUTMUSIK.
Now the numbers always come first. However,
977 the Comedy Channel.
And we'll see what it says about the Comedy Channel here.
The best comedy and the hottest cook. A radio search station.
And what I did is I vocal keyed right arrow on that to get more of a description on it.
89.3 KPCC FM.
And I'm going to vocal key right arrow again.
89.3 KPCC Southern California's source for the most NPR and award-winning local news.
All right. So let's do this one here.
FM ACB Radio Mainstream.
Well, my gosh, what do you know? ACB Radio Mainstream in iTunes. How about if I vocal key right arrow on this?
The Talk of the Blind Community, from the American Council of the Blind.
My gosh.
Blank, the Talk of the Blind CB Radio Mainstream.
Let's see what it's playing right now here. I just hit return.
Heading playlist dialog. Three items. Blank Pi sources outline. Row 26. Play ACB radio.
I'll bring up the volume here. And it sounds like cooking in the dark.
Actually, what we get to do.
Yep, it most certainly is.
Which I've been looking forward to.
And we can stop that. But I just want to explain what we can do with that.
So now playing artwork button. Sources.
And we gotta go back to our songs yet here.
Songs outline unselected. Row 26. Status. Play targeted. Name. ACB radio mainstream. Comment. The Tuck of the Blind. 89.3 KPCs. The Tuck of the Blind community.
Whoops.
ACB radio mainstream.
Okay, let's go back here.
ACB radio treasure trove.
That's supposed to be treasure Trump. However, voiceover chops it.
The best in classic radio drama and comedy from the American Council of the Blind. ACB radio treasure trove.
All right. And what if I hit return on this?
Row 27. Play ACB radio.
You ought to be married to bookkeepers or something.
Don't let them throw you, Hattie.
What do you mean?
Now, let's see. Sometimes... I haven't checked the treasure trump, but let me do this one, sir. Let's see. Sometimes it will. I'm low-key left arrowing. I did stop interacting here.
Text list for volume 52.9%. Volume smooth button. ACB radio treasure trove. http://www.
That's a website.
028 elapsed. Player status.
Okay, that's not telling me what it's what the actual what it's actually playing. But
selected row 27, status play name ACB radio treasure trove comment the best in classic radio drama and comedy from the American Council of the Blind ACB radio treasure.
Okay, we'll stop that. We'll stop this playing here. I'll bring up the volume again once here.
They'll all be up there gnawing away at the old flagpole.
All right, so I'm gonna stop this here. Actually, I'm not gonna pause to stop it here. So, but now.
Air America Radio is a national progressive entertainment talk radio network. AAR is broadcast in the top U.S. markets and an XM satellite radio with hosts like Al Franken, Randy Rhoads, Janie and Garofalo, and Jerry Springer.
Now I'm going to Volkey left or dig it in the main list.
AM 1710 Antioch.
Now, this is AM 1710, Antioch, Illinois. Now this is, right now we just highlighted the role or the actual station. Let's do Volkey right arrow.
Old time radio scheduled each hour and performing today's date in history.
So let's Volkey left again, just to be in the main list. Now I'm going to hit return again.
Row 29,
playing AM 1710 Antioch. I bet I'd get a great kick out of a hike if I
could. Yeah, it sounds like Life of Riley.
Oh, gee, Pop, you're not too old.
So I'm going to bring the volume down a little bit here. Because I think we know what that is. Now I'm going to stop interacting with Volkeys again. The Volkeys shift up arrow. Now what's really cool about this station, I'm going to Volkey left now again. And Volkey left again here. That's a volume percentage. Now if I, that's where it is, but if I Volkey right arrow again and Volkey left arrow again,
AM 1710 Antioch, The Life of Riley, Sunday, March 18, 1945, 62, Riley tries to become a Pelter Jr., 054 elapsed, player status.
It actually tells me the episode, and if you listen to AM 1710, you know, at the beginning of the show, it'll actually tell you when the year of the origination of the date of the date of the show that has originated, and... And I'm going to revoke you right here again so we can hear that again.
AM 1710 Antioch, The Life of Riley, Sunday, March 18, 1945, 62, Riley tries to become a Pelter Jr., 125 elapsed, player status.
Now that 62, because they do announce this for each episode, 62 years ago. Now, I can interact with that more if I'm really curious.
Interacting with 112 characters.
So I'm going to revoke... I'm going to Volkey left and right here again.
1710 Antioch. The Life of Riley, hyphen, Sunday, March 18, 1945, 62, Riley, tries to become a Tel 2 Junior, 125, elapsed.
Now that's your playing time.
Stop interacting with text.
So again, I was just kind of, it's kind of like a reviewing here. I'm going to Volky right and Volky left again.
I'm 17 to Nantiac, http://radio.macandmind.com, 220 elapsed.
Now that's, now I'm not sure why it does that, but I'm going to go back to kind of refresh it again.
I'm 17 to Nantiac, the life of Riley, Sunday, March 18, 1945, 62, Riley tries to become a Pelter Jr., 232 elapsed.
So it'll actually give you the, you know, as I said, the episode, the origination date of the show, as well as the episode, actually how many years ago, of course, 45, that'd be 62 years ago, and, you know, March 18th, and it'll actually tell you the episode. So, and this station is, in my opinion, the quality is wonderful. I heard just kind of get off the beaten track here, just for a minute. I heard an episode of The Shadow, and it's from 1938, and I heard it earlier today. And it was incredible. The quality was just fantastic. And that's kind of how that works. Now, that's pretty much it for this demonstration of iTunes. And I just did a command period to stop that. But what I wanted to explain is sometimes you need to interact with the source or the song, pane, I should say. I didn't go into searches, whatever. I just want to kind of give you a brief overview on how I think how accessible it is. there's other podcasts who have... I think Darcy and Holly, well, I know they did. They did a podcast on how to purchase stores purchase songs from iTunes. So I'm not going to do the search or whatever, but it's pretty incredible as far as the accessibility of it. I was going to do one last week, but in my opinion, it was accessible, but not since yesterday, the 17th of March. It really made a huge difference on that. I thought the iTunes accessibility was to me is pretty incredible, and I was pretty happy on how things went on that. But kind of skipping around a little bit, I was mentioning your Volkys. Sometimes you have to use your sometimes you have to interact with the list, other times you don't. If you Volky down arrow and you go to like mute whatever, then you know you can back up and, but generally, you know, we were in our radio genre, our radio streaming.
Songs outline.
So we're on our songs.
Sources outline.
I'll go to sources and, let's say I want to get back to Nat King Cole.
Best of Nat King Cole playlist.
Again, this all keyboard, I'm going to hit return. And I want to return it down here. Yes, it did. So, anyway, but I just kind of wanted to give you that little example there. So, I you know, get back to my streams really quick if I want, and and I'll just stop that for right now. I must say, when I did this, when I've been working with the iTunes, are there things that are perfect? No, but I'll tell you, up until about a week and a half ago, I never used iTunes, in my opinion. And it didn't work at all well for me, but they certainly have made big improvements. Apple certainly has certainly made some big improvements, you know, coming out with the accessibility for iTunes. And I could never do this before. I think there's people that have done that. Some of the things that I've learned, a lot of it, I have to say, I have to give credit where credit is due. is through the Mac Visionary list. That's blind Macintosh users. It's, of course, it's a way where you can share information back and forth. And I got a lot of information from that list. And it's so I hope I don't sound like a genius, because I certainly am not. It's something that I've guessed on, you know, I've experimented on my own, but, you know, other information I did receive from the list, and it's really good help. So that's pretty much it for the demo. I hope you enjoyed it, and I just think it's incredible what they're doing, and who only knows what they're going to do with Leopard, I guess. Don't know that's coming out. I'm not even going to comment on that, but I guess it comes out when it comes out. Is iTunes for everybody? I guess that's up to the individual. What I'm doing is I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I'm connected to my through wireless, or as Macintosh calls that, an AirPort. But I've discussed that in previous episodes of the Mac. So I hope you enjoyed it, and who knows, there may be more to come, but I hope this gives you somewhat of a... I tried to do this not strictly from the Mac side, but for Windows users as well. And, you know, there's... I know I use some terms, but, you know, a lot of the accessibility with just strictly a keyboard navigation using, as I mentioned before, using your tab keys and your up and down arrow keys and left and right. So it's fairly accessible. And but I hope you enjoyed it, and I will catch you later. And again, thank you for letting me share some time with you.
Hi, this is RJ Cooper. I'm the U.S. distributor for Thunder RJ, a nice, simple, and very portable screen reader. And these are on sticks. The website is rjcooper.com/thunder-rj, all lowercase. Our 800 number is 1-800-752-6673. Thunder ranges in price from $199 for the basic stick to $249 for the USB sound card stick and the MP3 512 meg player stick, up to $299 for the 1 gig MP3 player stick, and then there's a $349 2 gig MP3 player stick. I'm going to use my MP3 player USB stick. It's a 1 gig stick running Windows XP here. I'll plug the stick in, and we should hear Thunder get started. There's our familiar USB sound. I'll press
Welcome
enter.
Welcome to Thunder RJ.
It takes about 10 seconds to load from the MP3 player stick.
Thunder RJ, you have 14 days to try Thunder RJ. Okay.
This is the version that we'll hear from the website also.
Thunder RJ, use up and down arrow keys to hear choices. Press enter to select.
And now we have the menu unique to my version. In this menu we have
Thunder RJ settings. Learn how to control Thunder RJ. Go to all help files. Launch web, i.e. the web browser. Exit button.
And we'll start with Thunder RJ settings.
Thunder RJ settings.
Press enter.
Button. Instructions. No. Button. And set settings, OK, button.
And I'm using the keyboard for all of this. I am a sighted user. However, everything is voiced, as you can hear.
Jennifer, menu item.
These are our voices. I'll press the down arrow.
Jennifer.
Tom.
And that's Tom. We'll hear a little more of Tom.
Speed vault test, button. This is a test.
There's Tom. We have control over speed
Shift.
Here.
Volume speed 5. Speed 4. Speed 1.
Normal speed things 5. You find in a screen reader. The sound of the voice. Volume.
Volume 6. Volume 2. Volume 6.
And we'll hear some other choices in the settings.
Test. Button echo characters. checked. Checkbox. Echo words. Checked. Checkbox. Speak modifiers. Shift. CDRL. Alt. Checked. Checkbox. Speak home. End. Checked. Check beep for capitals. Checked. Checkbox. Speak shortcut keys. Unchecked. Checkbox. Novice mode. Unchecked.
The novice checkbox mode gives all sorts of information for newbies.
Use music. Checked.
Music are checkbox tones that we can hear in certain applications to indicate where we are on the page. We'll just press OK to get out of here. There's scripting involved here also. You can do it or not. I personally can't do it. It's above my head, but some people can.
Enter RJ. Use up and down arrow keys to hear choices.
We're back at the menu, unique to my version now.
Enter RJ settings. Button. Learn how to control Enter RJ. Button.
This is a simple text file with just your most important commands. We'll hear this one.
Notepad script initialized.
You might want to turn your volume down just a bit. There are some musical tones I have active right now that get a little loud relative to the voice. I was tweaking the settings around for this recording here, but I don't think I've got it just perfect. Remember that the musical tones can easily be turned off. Here we go.
Use the up and down cursor keys to listen to this document.
And you heard the musical tone there. As we're going up and down the page, we get a musical tone.
Use Alt+F4 when this is all need to see to be able to use
indicates
the mouse.
Indicates approximately where we are on the page. It's some help.
This use Alt+F4 when you're done. This is all about using the keyboard and not the mouse. You need to see to be able to use the mouse.
And I'm just using the up and down arrow keys to move about in this document. I can use the left and right arrow keys to read a character at a time.
E, E, D, space, T, O, space, S, E.
Of course, you can turn the music tones off. I can use control left and right arrow to move
control
word at a time.
To be able to use.
And this is a help.txt notepad document, and it just gives you your standard commands that most people would be using in here. I'll arrow down to some of them here.
Read current line equals caps lock plus L.
A lot of caps locks we use.
Read highlighted text equals caps lock plus H. Repeat last speech equals caps lock plus semicolon. Speak window name equals shift plus caps lock plus N. Stop speech till next keystroke equals CDRL.
Lots of commands here, not too many, and we try not to really burden people with a lot of commands. We're not competing with JAWS. One thing unique about Thunder is that it is not using an off-screen model. We're not intercepting the video driver, and that's why we can be completely portable and operate just from the USB stick without installing anything. That does limit us to certain applications to get information from those applications directly without going through the video drivers. I'm going to exit out of the help text document.
Alt, file, menu item, F, new CDRL plus N, menu item, save seat, save it, page, print, exit, menu, notepad, the text in the / Thunder RJ / Thunder Memoristic / help.txt file has changed. Do you want to save the changes? Yes. Button. No. Button. Enter RJ. Use up and down arrow keys to hear choices. Go to all help files. Button. Help topics. File. Menu. One press enter then cursor down to learn how to use help files. Point doc. List item.
I'm going to use that one. What I've done here from the menu is we've opened up the help topics folder, and each help topic is actually a small Word file that can be opened in Word if you have it, or WordPad will open a doc file also. And I can just use my up and down arrow keys to peruse this folder.
Two screen reader hotkeys point doc. Addressing an envelope doc. List
These
title.
Are nice, very compact piles, about 2 to 3 paragraphs each. They deal with one topic and one topic only. There's also a main manual that you can open that has all of them. I personally like going through these topics just a file at a time.
Bigger keyboards, point doc. Bold and underline, point doc. Choosing a clearer voice, point doc. List
these
item.
Documents not only tell you about Thunder, but they also teach a newbie how to just operate their computer, too. I'll go to the...
One press enter, then cursor down, to learn how to use help files, point doc. Two screen reader hotkeys, point doc. List
There's
item.
Some more hotkeys to use. We're not going to go through all the hotkeys here. because you can look through them yourself. As I say, there's a variety of them, so I just use the basic ones. I will go into screenreaderhotkeys.doc, and that will open Word.
Word script initialized.
2003.
Microsoft Office 2002 Screenreader Hotkeys Point Doc, Microsoft Word Document.
So I'm in Microsoft Word. I use my up and down arrow keys. I'll change voices over to Jennifer.
Hotkeys reference card.
So I'm just using the up and down arrow keys. I've turned off the musical tones.
Document read equals left CTRL plus alt plus down arrow key. Document read pause equals up or down arrow key. Read current line equals caps lock plus L.
We use caps lock quite a bit.
Read current line to cursor equals caps lock plus K. Read current word to cursor point equals caps lock plus J. Read character at cursor equals caps lock plus I.
Just a few of my favorites.
Read object equals caps lock plus O. Read highlighted text equals caps lock plus H. Repeat last speech equals caps lock plus semicolon. Repeat and spell last speech equals caps lock plus shift plus semicolon.
And I'll stop for there.
Alt, file, F new, menu item, exit, menu, Microsoft Office Word. Do you want to save the changes to two screenreader hotkeys point doc? Yes. Button, no. Button.
We're going to go to the web browser here.
Launch web, i.e. the web browser. Button. Assistive technology.
This is a fairly nice little web browser.
Link one.
It's not
Home
IE,
vertical bracket, vertical
but it does
bracket
break up
link control.
The web page into just sequential text and links, so you can use your up and down arrow keys to quickly get around. And when you hear a link, you can just press enter to actually execute that link.
Link 2, index.ht. Link 3, quick find. Link 4, contact. Link 5, view your shopping cart or checkout.
So this is my Thunder RJ page on the web that we're actually listening to.
Thunder RJ, Windows 2000/XP/Vista only. Screen reader on estate trademark.
And we can use the exact same keys to get around here.
C-R-E-E-N.
That's the right arrow. Here's control right.
Control, portable, and simple, but powerful, screen reader that is tailored for blind persons.
And that's about it. It does forms, and it does most things that you need to do on the web. I'm going to break out of Webby.
Alt, F, open CTRL plus O. Menu item. Application. Thunder RJ. Use up and down arrow keys to hear choices.
We're back at the main menu. I'm going to get into the start menu now.
Start menu. All programs. Menu item.
I've got
menu
a ton of things
item
in here.
Outlook Express.
Outlook Express
menu
using
item
my site here, just for quickness.
And Outlook Express script initialized.
And I am in Outlook or Outlook Express. I'm going to tab around.
Link, go to. Link.
Till I get to my inbox.
Link, find. Link. Local folders. Inbox. Outline item, level 2.
And now I'm in my inbox. I will press tab to go to my actual messages.
Microsoft Outlook Express theme. Subject, welcome to Outlook Express 6. Received. October 30th, 2006, 11:06 p.m., list item.
That's the only message I had. If I had more, I would just use my up and down arrows to review their headers. Press tab to go to the actual message area.
The solution for all your messaging needs. Featuring.
And once again, all my standard moving around navigation keys work here.
Email and news groups.
Do a control right arrow.
Control. Email. News groups, multiple accounts, and identities.
Standard stuff. Now, when I have a message, I can reply to it. I can use my menu bar.
Alt. Edit. Menu item with submenu. View. Menu item with submenu. New message using. Reply to sender CTRL plus R.
And once
menu
I learn
item
my hotkeys for doing these, which you guys probably already know, you can just do Control R and you'll get to the reply.
Bold. Welcome to Outlook Express 6, pane.
And I'm in the reply box now. I would just start typing my message. As in Word and as in WordPad and Notepad, it will echo all my keystrokes.
Shift, H I comma I shift T H I S this.
Every time I press space, it will echo the word I just typed. You could turn that off. You could turn the keystrokes off.
I S is A A T E S T.
Our standard commands work here. Caps lock L to read my line.
This is a test.
I can arrow around.
S space I S.
Control left
control
right arrow.
Is this.
The standard stuff that we've done in all the different applications we've been in today. When I'm finished with my message, I can do the keyboard shortcut in Outlook Express, which is Alt-S to send the message, or I can use the menu bar.
Alt. New. Menu item with submenu. Send message Alt plus S.
And menu then I would just press Enter to send that message. We're going to break out of Outlook here.
Work close. Menu item. Bold. Outlook Express. Do you want to save changes to this message? Yes. Button.
I'll press N.
Thunder RJ. Use up and down arrow keys to hear choices. Button.
And we're back to my menu here. There's lots of other things. I mentioned scripting. Visual Basic Script. Not too hard to understand, but a little above me, personally. A lot of key commands that we didn't go into. Those are the basic applications that it operates with. Once again, we're not trying to be a JAWS competitor. Very portable, though. Runs directly from the stick. Doesn't install anything, and reasonably priced.
The website is rjcooper.com/thunder-rj, all lowercase. Our 800 number is 1-800-752-6673. Thunder ranges in price from $199 for the basic stick to $249 for the USB sound card stick and the MP3 512 meg player stick, up to $299 for the 1 gig MP3 player stick, and then there's a $349 2 gig MP3 player stick.
And then we'll get on to the actual Q&A part after this. Thanks.
The American Council of the Blind is working hard to ensure that all blind and visually impaired people using United States currency have the same level of access to information about that currency as those who are sighted. If this is important to you, if you agree that you should have the same level of information about the U.S. currency that you use, now there is something you can do. Please take a moment and go to www.moneyforall.info and sign the Money for All Accessible Currency Online Petition. Again, it's at www.moneyforall.info. That's money, the number four, all.info. The American Council of the Blind would like to thank you for taking the time to sign the online petition. Again, it's at www.moneyforall.info. That's money, the number four, all.info. Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live. This evening we have with us Daryl Chandro, my co-host, and then we'll be bringing on our guests in just a minute. Good evening, Daryl. How is it going?
Oh, great.
Oh, good.
Ready to go.
All right, excellent. And it's been really, really, really warm here. Today it hit about 90 here in Tucson, and probably a lot warmer in Phoenix, huh?
Low 90s here. Not too much warmer, but, man, it's really telling us that summer is starting in earnest, and we're going to have a hot one this year.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? Well, before we get started with our guest tonight, we wanted to cover a few tech items tonight, and we have about four of them, and we'll get things started with the announcement this week from Freedom Scientific all about a new JAWS for Windows patch. This was dated of April 2nd, and the main fix for this patch was a fix for Windows 2000 users and tabbing in Internet Explorer and other places where the virtual buffer is utilized. That is the main fix, and so Freedom Scientific is stating that if you're not on Windows 2000, there's really not much point of actually getting that release. There are a couple of other minor changes as well, one having to do with the help file and another having to do with AOL Instant Messenger. And you can find more information on that at freedomscientific.com. Look under the software heading, and you can find the link there near the top.
Excellent. And I have some information on the Appliant products. Replay AV has come out with they came out with a few new versions last week, kind of bang, 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 right after another. It seemed like every day they would come up with a minor update. So we're now up to version 8.12, and I think that the revisions are pretty much minor. There was a fix for CPU overutilization, and I think a new codec was added, and there's a new version of the included replay converter. So if you're a replay AV customer, go ahead and go over to Appliant, Appliant.com, and get your update.
Absolutely, and they seem to be coming out pretty quick and furious. One of the applications that a lot of us are using is an application by the name of Juice, which seems to be not in development as much as it has been in the past, and a product that has been at least getting more updates more frequently than Juice has is a product called PodNova. And this week, actually on Monday, they released PodNova version 2.3. This product is continued to be accessible. There are a couple things that you need to make sure that you do. First of all, you can locate this at www.podnova.com. It is, for those that are not aware, it is a pod-catching application, similar to Juice or iPodder and other products. And you can first sign up for an account at PodNova, because the way that this works is that all of your podcasting feeds are maintained at the PodNova website. So then you can download the client, and the big difference between PodNova 2.2 and 2.3, because the 2.2 version was really basically the same as Juice, except that it didn't have the directory tab, and I think there were a couple other minor changes. The other change, of course, was that you could synchronize your accounts or your feeds between PodNova and the client. Well, with 2.3, you are no longer able to add feeds using the client. This is because they want you to be using their website to be able to manage all of your feeds. This really isn't that big of a deal, because the site is pretty accessible. Now, one of the key things that you need to do with PodNova, on the My Account tab, there's a checkbox that you want to make sure is checked if you're using a screen reader. Because if you're not, the three buttons that are shown on the main page of PodNova, the client anyway, they don't have text labels associated to them. And so if you hit tab, you'll hear the word button, but you won't actually know what button you're tabbing to. So again, for more information, head on over to www.podnova.com.
Yes, and I would suspect, I know just for me personally, I'm not running to do the upgrade. I kind of like my Juice functionality.
Yeah, now I don't know. One of the things that I have not been able to determine yet is whether or not the old client will be phased out, meaning that they won't allow you to connect to the new website.
That could be an issue.
Yeah, because they did relaunch the website, and it is significantly different than the old PodNova website. It's actually better for a screen reader, but you're going to want to try it. I'm not sure it's actually going to allow you to download your feeds, or at least your OPML list, from their website.
Darn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, technology marches on, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, but we don't know for sure if it will or won't work. So,
right.
Good luck for those of you who are still on 2.2. And if you're still on 2.2 and it's working for you, give us a call tonight during the show and let us know. Take it away, Daryl.
All right. Well, I have a report here from Brian Harton on iTunes on the Windows side of the house. Now, we know that the Mac side of the house is much more accessible than it once was. Brian says, "Hi, Jeff and Daryl. I know that Main Menu this week contained an item on using iTunes on the Mac. I should be very interested in listening to it. You may want to mention iTunes for Windows and its accessibility. These are my thoughts." And he says he'll try to call in. We'd love to hear from you if you're up over there in the UK. Number one, he says that he thinks that Apple should do everything possible to make sure that iTunes is accessible to all screen reader users. That would be both on the Mac platform and using standard Windows controls on Windows. This is very important due to the digital rights management, which people are often forced into accepting in order to purchase music. Even when the JAWS scripts are working at their best, there are parts of iTunes, including the music store, which are not accessible, and this has to change. And he talks about maybe starting an online petition. And then Brian is often asked about using JAWS 8 with his iTunes scripts on iTunes 7.1. The problem centered around the inaccurate reporting of text on many parts of the iTunes screen when using the JAWS cursor. I've submitted a detailed report to Freedom Scientific stating the problems and how to reproduce them and how he would like them resolved. So there are some, some concerns on the scripting side of the house with the manipulation of the JAWS cursor that have changed from JAWS 7.1 to 8.0. And so perhaps maybe we will get a chance to discuss those on this show or a future show. And that's Brian's report.
Yeah, now, the interesting thing is, you know, where does the line get drawn here? Is this really an Apple issue, or is it really a screen reader issue, or is it both? And we'll let users decide that. But I tend to think that it really is, at least at this point, Apple needs to do a lot more to make iTunes more accessible. At least
look, we're talking about music. I mean,
this isn't like your job.
We're talking about music and receiving podcasts, and
yep.
And we're talking about iTunes University and things like this, which really should be covered entities under one or more legislative aspects anyhow.
Well, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Now, there was some breaking news this week about iTunes. And did you know that they're going to be allowing you to download DRM-free music from the iTunes Store, at least those things from the EMI label?
It's you're still going to have to use iTunes, I assume, right?
Yes, and it will cost you 30 cents more per track, but full albums will cost the same as they do now.
They're going to increase the price, but make it available in the clear.
Yes, if you download a full album, that the cost doesn't go up, but if you download an individual track, you can download them in AAC format, not an MP3, and they're free and DRM free. It's at least on the EMI label.
That's
so pretty cool. Exciting stuff. All right, well, we're going to now hear from Access World tonight, and they're going to tell us a little bit about their website and some changes there. And then after that, we're going to come back and we're going to bring on Rick Harmon and RJ from RJ Cooper and Associates to talk to us all about Thunder on a Stick. So that's what's coming up this week on ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Main Menu Live on ACB Radio Mainstream.
If you've used the AccessWatch review system much, you know that one of the things that has been difficult to do in the past was to find an actual topic that has been reviewed. If you knew what program you were looking for, you could use your screen reader's find command, type in the name of that program, and you would be taken right to it. But topics such as CD burning or antivirus, that sort of thing, were a lot more difficult to search for. Today, AccessWatch has a Google search box on the homepage, And if you check the checkbox that says to search Access Watch rather than the web, you can type in a search term such as CD burning. When I did a search for CD burning on Access Watch, I found reviews for such CD burning programs as Nero, Easy CD Creator, All Image, and Premiere CD DVD Creator. A look at Nero showed that there were 3 reviews using JAWS 6.0, 6.2, and WindowEyes. The program had an overall 5 rating based on these 3 reviews. Now, although this review is for Nero version 6, it is apparent from looking at mailing lists that version 7 works as well. When you look at the reviews of Nero, you will find keyboard shortcuts and other tips and tricks for using the program. If you are an Access Watch user and you have an account, and you also use any CD burning program such as Nero version 7 or any other program of your choosing, feel free to leave a review on the site and let's expand the topic of CD burning. Check us out at www.accesswatch.info. You can contact me by emailing jamiepauls@gmail.com. Have a great week.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. To participate in the show, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
I want to serve modem users.
There you go. We're back, everybody, and sorry about interrupting you guys there.
Oh, no problem.
Just chatting away there. All right, so let's welcome our guest tonight. Hello, RJ from RJ Cooper and Rick Harmon. How's it going, RJ?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. It was great to see you at CSUN, and boy, you looked really busy there.
I was very happy with the reception for my products.
Yes, yes, it was very exciting. I stood there for about 20 minutes or so before I was able to talk to you. And we already have a caller, actually.
We have an MSN message as well.
Okay, great. So, first of all, caller, I'm going to ask you to hold on a second because I want to get some introductions out of the way here and let RJ talk a little bit about himself and a little bit about the product and who the intended audience of the product is and things like that so that everyone is aware of where we're going here tonight. As you listen, if you listen to the first hour of the show, we do know that he's already stated this is not a competitor to JAWS, and we want to make that very, very clear that this is not intended to be, you know, a $1,000 screen reader. But we'll let RJ tell you more about that. So, first of all, before we let RJ introduce himself, let's welcome Rick Harmon to the show. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, welcome again, and seems like you're becoming a regular here on Main Menu Live.
Good to be here.
Yay, we love it when you come, and absolutely, we love it when you're here. All right, okay, RJ, first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What got you into this industry, and you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then if you can tell us a little bit about what you feel the direction of Thunder is in reference to, you know, how, what you're selling, and you know, no need to repeat what we've heard in the first hour, but kind of giving some people a little more information just so that we understand kind of what the framework is here tonight.
Well, back in 1983, I was at the University of Utah. I was in the computer science department there, and I wanted to use computers for something different than other people were doing. And I came up with the, at that time, unique idea of using computers for people with special needs. I ran across a gentleman named Bill Grimm from Indiana and another gentleman named Doug Joffrey. And we all were doing similar things. And I started working with Bill, reselling his product out in Utah, and got involved with screen readers right from 1983, 1984. But eventually I got into the mental retardation, developmental delay, cerebral palsy, that area more so than blind. And through the years, I've known around the world for my work with more severe, more challenged populations. But about 4 years ago, I noticed that there was a hole in the market for the blind that I thought that needed to be filled, and that was for a low-cost, inexpensive screen reader that was simple to operate for my market was
early and late. In other words, seniors and for juniors. And I didn't think that JAWS or some of the other products out there were appropriate at their price break and also at their complexity for these persons. So I went out and hired a programmer, and over the course of the next 2 years, I spent $80,000 and didn't come up with anything, unfortunately, and then dropped the project for a year and then came up with another $20,000 for another programmer who thought he could do it, but that didn't amount to anything. So over the course of the past 4 years, I've spent a little over $100,000 in development of a non-existing product. Last summer, the programmer that I was working with came up with a Thunder from across the pond there over in England that some gentlemen were doing, and they were offering it for free over the Internet, and it did almost exactly what I wanted it to do. I was after Microsoft Word was number one for me, and then WordPad and Notepad, of course, the desktop, File Explorer, all the menus, Outlook or Outlook Express, and some type of web access. And that's really all I was after, and I really envisioned it to be portable so that USB sticks, which were just becoming popular around 4 years ago, everything would run completely from this USB stick, and then you'd plug this in wherever you went, and that computer would become speech-enabled. That's the phrase that we started using about 4 years ago. Well, it took 4 years, but working with the people that developed Thunder over in England, who are very nice, very creative gentlemen, they are really excited about the way that I'm using Thunder over here in the States. We've renamed it Thunder RJ for my particular version, which runs off of the USB stick. And I now have three different types of sticks that I'm using to make this a very portable, non-install product that will address those applications that I just named.
Okay. Well, great. We'll get to those in just a couple of minutes. But I first want to commend you, RJ, for I never really knew that I never really heard this part of your story before in reference to the amount of money that you spent. And, wow, how commendable is that? I mean, you know, you're literally putting your money where your mouth is and really putting your heart out there to develop this solution. And wow, that's pretty incredible.
Well, and, thank you.
Yeah,
a lot of people would have certainly given up long before that.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure I would put $100,000 into something, and well, I don't think I'd have $100,000 to put into something like
yeah.
that. But wow, that's fantastic.
It reminds me of there's a movie with Tom Hanks called The Money Pit.
Oh yes, yes, absolutely.
And you just never know when to quit because you're always on the threshold of what you think is a breakthrough. So you keep pouring money in, and that's what happens.
That's right. Well, let's bring in our caller here and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. It's Kelly Sapergia here.
Hello, Kelly. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Great.
Good.
How can we help you?
I was just wondering if I could make a few comments about the PodNova situation.
Oh, certainly. Go right ahead. For those who have joined us a little bit late, PodNova 2.3, which is a podcatching application, has just come out this week, and we've asked callers who have actually been using that to call in and give their own opinion on what they're thinking of the new version, as well as older versions of the client if they're still working with the new website. Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay, well, I've installed the new client yesterday. And the reason for that was because the old client, at least on my system, stopped working as far as allowing you to add or even remove podcasts.
I guess that answers our question, huh?
Yeah. So you're basically stuck if you want to add a new feed or remove something. It won't do it. It'll just give you some weird error messages. And as for the new client, I am not impressed with it at all. I mean, granted, it is accessible, and I do give them credit for putting in the screen reader option, but that's about all you can really do in it. You can't view what podcast you have. You can't see what files you're going to download.
You can't even play them.
Yeah, and if you wanted to you find an episode and you think, well, I don't want that one, but I do want this one, you know, and then you can't do that anymore. And what really makes it bad for it's not just me, but I mean, this also is affecting sighted people as well. But if you start the download process, it doesn't even tell you what it's grabbing. So you can't see if, let's say, Main Menu Live is being downloaded. You would have to go through your entire podcast folder.
Yeah, your directory.
And, go through everything. And I don't think you can obviously do that on the web. So I'm not recommending it at all. And in fact, on the blog they've got on Podnova's blog, there's last time I checked this afternoon, there were about 16 responses, and the majority of them were all very negative.
Well, yes, and I personally received an email from Robin, who's one of the core people there, and I let that individual know of the major concern, at least within our community, about this, and I received a response. I'll post it to like the PC audio list or something like that, so people can see it. But I wasn't real happy with the response either. So we'll see. I think they're going to have to do something, but who knows what that's going to be. Kelly, do you have any do you have any questions for our guest here tonight about Thunder?
No, actually, I unfortunately missed the presentation. I got in from a meeting, but I'll catch it
on the replay.
Podcast, I can get it.
Okay.
I was just going to say that I'm hoping that there's another good podcasting client out there, because I'm pretty annoyed with this one.
Well, we're going to scour around and try to give you some more information, because it does definitely look like while you can use Podnova to get your downloads, maybe we can look around for something better. So we'll see what we can do on that. All right, Kelly, thanks very much for calling in.
Okay,
we'll see you later.
Kelly.
Yep.
Yeah.
866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And we have another caller. Caller, I'm going to ask you to hold on just a second. We have a question that has come in from MSN Messenger. So let's go ahead and handle that now, and then we'll take our caller. Hello, Daryl. Go ahead.
Okay. Chris he actually wrote in when we were talking about JAWS 8. And he is—he wanted to comment on a topic that's certainly close to my heart, and that's these blank virtual buffers that persist.
Oh yes.
In JAWS 8.
And yeah, it doesn't look like that was mentioned as part of the fixes.
No, and that's an interesting thing too, because some of you may remember the Build 1171 issue that happened last week.
Right.
Or the week.
Like 2 weeks ago, I think, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
almost 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Well, I can't seem to update successfully.
Oh.
So
isn't that
lovely? If anybody's got the Build 1171, we're going to have to look into that issue, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, something to contact support about.
Yeah, but I was just letting everybody know, because I know I posted a blog post about that,
right,
too.
Right, right.
But
I think you can still... I think you can still download the full
full
version, and I think you can do that.
Absolutely.
They may have updated that that full build, I think, maybe.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, the blank virtual, he just wanted to mention the blank virtual buffers issue not being resolved.
Okay. Well, yeah, get a hold of support, everybody. That's all that we can do as users of the product.
Certainly.
All right. Any other stuff from MSN, Daryl?
Not yet.
All right. Let's bring in our next caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got two quick questions.
Okay, who is this first?
And the other two. Oh, I'm sorry, my name is Danny.
Hello, Danny, where are you from?
I'm in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. My first question is, in order to use Thunder, what kind of memory stick do I need? Because I know that, for example, FreedomBox uses a U3 key, and I called a store and asked them if they had any, and they had, they did not have, maybe they didn't know what U3 was, but they were pretty expensive. And it, when one puts the stick onto the computer, if there's no screen reader on the computer, how do I know how to start it properly? Thank you.
Okay. And then your second.
I got a question for you.
Okay. Go ahead and ask that one, and then we'll answer your question.
Then
after
I'll hang up and listen.
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay.
What, your second.
Well, here
question?
We go. I'm a member of. I've got on that Access Watch website.
Yes.
And I wanted to submit a review for something, but I did not know how to go about doing that because I just could not find the proper link to do it.
Okay, why don't you do this? Are you a member of the Main Menu Friends list, Danny?
Yes.
Okay. Send an email to that list, and we'll get back to you on that, and we'll provide you the support. Plus, there's almost over 100 people there on that list, and one of those users will probably get back to you before Main Menu Live is even over. So that would be that would be the best thing. Okay, so if you can, we're going to go let you go, and we'll let RJ answer your question, all right?
Okay,
thank you, Danny. All right, RJ, take it away.
Hi there, guys.
Yeah, okay, did you hear the question?
I did.
Okay, go right ahead.
Good questions there.
Yeah.
Actually, this picks up. This is a great segue because this picks up exactly where I left off.
Yes, indeed.
Those are the types of sticks that I'm using. Now, I'm selling Thunder. I'm packaging Thunder on USB sticks. At first, I started with just a memory stick. That's $199. That's a 1 gig memory stick. It's not what's called U3 enabled. U3 is a trick of a memory stick. It's pretty cool, actually, in which hardware-wise, they set up a CD drive on part of the memory stick. And the other part is just a regular memory stick that appears as another drive. So when you plug a U3 drive into a computer, a PC running Windows XP or above, it actually shows up as two drive letters, which I don't think anybody knew about. And one drive is usually a CD, so it has the autorun.inf file enabled, and that means that it can automatically run a file. It actually has a file called Launchpad that gets run from the autorun, and that actually is manipulatable by a user with a U3 enabled application. And the other day I was playing with U3 to decide if I wanted to use it for people that were blind. And I decided not to use the U3 enabler. In fact, I found an application online, a freebie, that lets you set even a non-U3 compatible application as an auto run. It's pretty cool.
Oh, great.
But anyway, back to why I decided not to use the U3, and that was as I was plugging my stick in and out as a sighted user, it became a pain for me to constantly have to run through the auto run of Thunder each time if I just wanted to use it for storing memory.
Okay.
And so the way that Windows XP has worked since 2000 is if you have an autorun.inf file on your USB stick, on any type of media actually, Windows will pop up a menu asking you what you want to do with that USB stick or CD, if there's media files on there, if there's movies on there, and the menu will always pick the executable that's pointed to by the autorun.inf file. And so what happens when you plug a Thunder stick into the computer, whether it's the memory stick, the sound card stick, or the MP3 player sticks that I use, a menu appears on Windows. You hear the familiar ba-bong of USB. You wait 5 seconds. You count to five. That gives Windows plenty of time to pop up this menu. And then the first thing highlighted is always Thunder, and you just press Enter. So a blind user would simply insert the stick, count to five, press Enter, and off runs Thunder. The complete screen reader just starts by itself and brings you to its main menu, ready to rock and roll. And that's the same with all three sticks, whether it's the memory stick, 1 gig, whether it's the sound card stick with 256 meg of memory, or whether it's the MP3 player sticks with either 1 gig or 2 gigs of memory.
Interesting. Now, one of the things that I think the caller was sort of suggesting, too, was that is the Thunder RJ version available without a key? Yeah, or I shouldn't use key. It's more of a Freedom Box thing. Is it available as not being a stick? Meaning, is there a price you can pay to get the Thunder RJ version, which appears to actually have some features that the actual Thunder does not, at least from what we heard on in the menus. And can you add it to your own stick?
You can. We charge $199 with the stick, and it comes with a CD that lets you put it on your hard drive also if you don't want your stick to have to plug in each time at home.
Okay.
We don't, to put it on another stick, though, we don't allow that. We sell the stick as part of our package, $199.
Gotcha. Okay.
And as I say, it's a 1 gig stick. It's not U3 enabled because of, as I said, it just forced people to auto run every time.
Okay.
And those are the three versions we sell it at.
theversion@screenreader.net, which is Roger's site over in the UK.
Sure.
He has the free version there that will run with Sappy Voices, and that version won't run off of the stick either. So right now, I'm one of the few in the world that's really producing the product on these sticks.
Oh, so if you were to download the Thunder off screenreader.net, it's not going to work on a stick.
That's correct.
Oh, very good.
I had to push very hard to get all the files to run directly from the stick. In fact, they stopped halfway on that, and they went for moving files to the Windows System 32 folder temporarily. And I said, no, it can't do that. And it took about 3 months for them to finally get it until I got an email from Alistair one day, and he said, we've got it. It runs completely from the stick. Nothing gets moved to the system. And I said, thank goodness.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so now we really understand the real true difference between the ScreenReader.net version and your version. Okay, good. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey, Jeff. This is Chris. How are you?
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Really good. I was actually going to, and you guys just answered my question about the Thunder. I was going to ask you the question about what the difference between the ScreenReader.net version and RJ's version was, and that's cool. And I also wanted to recommend that if you guys, you talked about Replay AV earlier, that's actually a podcast client, too.
Yeah, it is.
And if you can use that, then I would say you might want to, if you can afford that, then that might be an alternative to the whole Podnova thing.
Podcast support is good, but pretty basic.
Yeah, and
it is. You have access to show notes, for instance.
Yeah.
Right, I wasn't able to get a hold of those, so.
But at least it's an alternative, though.
It is, and if you just want to get the files. And I noticed that, kind of interesting enough, that it seems to rename the files.
Oh, interesting.
I've used Juice, and I've also used Replay AV just to see what each one of them would do, and I noticed that Replay AV renamed the files.
Replay AV renames them.
Yes, it renames them. I'm not sure why it does it, but it's not a bad thing. I mean, you can always tell what it is. It doesn't change the name of the file so much that you can't tell what it is, but it's just kind of surprising. But if anybody needs to have a quick and easy alternative to that, and you can afford Replay AV, that it definitely downloads podcasts. So if you just want the files, then that's certainly something I would do.
Well, one of the other options you have, too, is, of course, to use IE7's RSS capability. And it will
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, you can do that, too. But the only problem with that is that the files get downloaded into your temporary internet files location, and you can't specify a different location.
Not good.
Yeah, so you can't browse the directory tree, you know, similar to what you could
not
choose.
Not really.
Yeah. So unfortunately.
Or you could also use the accessible podcatcher. You guys remember that one?
Yes, and wow, what a great transition. You know, you're really good, Chris. Thanks. There you go. So let's ask RJ about that because his product comes with Webby and I think the accessible podcatcher as well, right?
And I'm going to hang up, so I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay?
All right, great.
See you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. RJ, does it come with the accessible podcatcher? I know it comes with Webby.
It does come with Webby, which is a fairly reasonable web browser which breaks up web pages, even the most complicated ones, into just a sequential series of links and text that you use your up and down arrows to browse through. With some shortcuts that lets you get past the whole tassel of links, like those at MSN.com, for example, which has around 40 links at the top that you want to jump past those. I haven't played with the pod issue. I do know there's a directory in there with some pod-named file names, but truly I have been concentrating so much on Word more than anything that I haven't looked around some of the deeper features myself.
Oh, well, then let's turn to Rick, who I know has played with it. And actually, Rick, I'm going to ask you a little bit about Webby as well, keeping in mind, RJ, that I know that really you don't really write the code of Webby. You know, you're just reselling the product as it stands. And I know, Rick, you had a couple of issues with Webby, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a very hard time getting Webby to even work, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure why.
I had a lot of problems with it.
One of the websites on your podcast that you tried was, of course, the blindcooltech.com website. And
yep.
So, RJ, this may be something you might want to take back to, you know, the developers there Because I think, aren't they all coordinated together? In other words, the people that wrote Thunder were also involved in writing Webby?
Very closely allied.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be good to you know, since you already have a good relationship with them, you might want to let them know, at least with that specific website. Did you try it with others, Rick?
I don't remember if I tried anything else, but what I did have, I kept having troubles with.
Yeah, and the Blind Cool Tech website is pretty standard. It's there's not a lot of weird issues on the HTML side.
It's a very standard layout for its code. It really shouldn't have had the issues.
The only thing that's special about it is, of course, it has the Google frame inside of the web page.
Yeah.
And so,
and I think that pretty much was ignored.
Yeah. Did so what about the podcatching application? How was that?
The accessible podcatcher.
Yeah.
That works very well for the most part. I actually test my feeds from my website with Juice and accessible podcatcher.
Okay.
I do use it on a regular basis, and I know people out there that, you know, have written me that use it, and it does work pretty good.
And it's pretty, you can get your show notes and everything with it, can't you?
To an extent.
Hmm.
It will give you the title information from the show.
Okay.
Along with the file name. But
okay.
The nice thing about it is that, you know, for people that just want to play things, you know, it starts playing it immediately, you know, where Juice doesn't.
Oh, I see. Right.
So you can just simply go to a feed, tab into the list of podcasts on that feed, select that, tab again, tell it to start playing, and within a few seconds, the podcast starts playing.
Okay,
and
great.
And then if you wanted to save it, then you just simply go up to File and tell it to save it.
Oh, so it actually doesn't download then to your...
It doesn't download anything automatically.
Interesting. I have not played with it, honestly. I think I played with it, oh my gosh, a long time ago.
Did you get any show notes?
No, he was saying just gets the title in the file name, Darren.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I noticed you were typing that. Do we have another MSN message?
We do.
Okay.
We have a couple.
Okay, let's handle those. We do have a caller. Caller, I'm going to ask that you hold on just a second. We're going to take some MSN questions and then let RJ or Rick answer those, and then we'll bring you on, okay? So just hold on there, caller. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, Ming wants to know, the synthesizer, the software speech synthesizer that's used with Thunder RJ on a stick, is that synthesizer on the stick or does it have to be installed on the... PC.
Wow, that's a great question. Go ahead, RJ.
I love it because I was going to bring that up if no one else did. At screenreader.net, it's going to use your sappy voices. Anything on the system that's sappy is going to be used. Microsoft Sam, of course, is on most computers there. I don't know if you've heard the new Vista Microsoft Anna, but it's quite nice. So those would automatically start up with the screenreader.net version. What they've done for me is we package two of the solo voices, Tom and Jennifer, which are very nice. Those are actually on the stick also. They take up a combined total of about 70 to 80 megs on the stick. And once again, there's no installation. They run directly from the stick. As long as they're on the stick, Thunder for the stick will use them. If they're not on the stick, then Thunder will use anything in the sappy area. So that's part of our package also with all three of our sticks. We provide those two really high-quality voices.
RJ, can you purchase more? Again, can you put them on the stick for the user?
You actually could if they're solo voices. Anything that's solo could be put on there, such as any of the UK voices and Daniel. I can't remember the other ones there, but yes, you could use those. I've also asked them, right now Thunder is such that if you have the voices on the stick, it will only look at those, not the sappy. I've asked them to expand that out to allow people to choose sappy also. Why not? Let you choose whatever is on the system as well as what's on the stick.
Interesting. How much space is remaining on the stick with your current product? In other words, if I get the 1 gig version of the stick, how much space is taken by Thunder and the speech products?
About 100 meg is taken up by Thunder and the speech products on all three of the sticks, whether it's the 256 meg sound card stick, or the 1 or 2 gig MP3 player, or the just plain memory stick.
Okay, and if you wanted to buy more, do you have a price for those, or are they individually? Do you handle that on an individual basis?
You mean a larger than 2 meg?
2 gig, I mean?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to buy more voices, you know, like the UK voices or something like that.
Oh, yes, that's right. They'd be, they're standard $39 per voice these days at most sites.
Okay. But will you sell them and put them on the stick for the consumer, or do you just suggest that the consumer go get them?
This is the first time that the issue has been raised because it's such a new product, so I'd say that whatever the customer wants, we're probably going to implement and allow.
All right. Well, hey, there you go. That's great. Okay, Daryl, did you have any more?
Actually, no. We're covered now.
Okay, good. Let's bring in our caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, my name is Kenny.
Hello, Kenny. How can we help you tonight?
I do have a question, but I have a comment about Thunder.
Okay.
It ain't the stick one, but it's the one that you get off the cleaner.net.
Okay.
I actually tried it with installing my HP printer software with it earlier today, and it works a lot better than it does with JAWS. With JAWS, you got to use a JAWS cursor.
Oh, good. So you're finding it to be a pretty good user experience then.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And my other question is, what sticks are available? If I was to order the stick, what sticks would be available for me to order the Thunder on the USB stick?
Okay, so what three sticks are available? Is that what you're wanting to know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll have RJ repeat that, and if you can listen on the air, that would be great, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay, RJ, can you kind of run down that again for us exactly? What is included in, and one of the things I wanted to find out, too, while you're doing this, if it's okay, I'd like to find a little bit more out about the... I'm speaking well tonight, aren't I? I'd like to find more about the version of the stick that's a sound card. I have some actually interesting... situations where that could come in real handy. So if you could talk a little bit about that, what kind of sound card is that, and give us more information.
Well, I'd love to.
Okay, great.
We start at the bottom. It's the 1 meg. I'm sorry, 1 gig. I'm back in the old days, Jeff. One meg.
Well, you started in 83, so 1 meg wouldn't be so out of the ordinary.
No, actually, I remember programming Apple IIe's at 32K and squeezing things in there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You probably even had a Commodore 64, too, didn't you?
Oh, my gosh. I had a VIC-20 before the Commodore.
Yeah, didn't we all?
Jeff, I actually thought in 1980 that I missed the computer revolution.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, when we got the Commodore 128, we thought we all died and went to heaven.
It was wonderful. So the lowest price is the $199. That is the 1 gigabyte Thunder memory stick, and that's just a plain memory stick.
Okay, so that's a USB memory stick.
That's a USB. It's 2.0. You plug it in. Up comes the Windows menu. You wait 5 seconds. You press enter. You don't have to see anything, and you're off and running.
Okay.
The second version is the sound card version, because this came from an aha moment, Jeff, and that was I wanted to be able to run the program from my website also without installing anything, and I was successful. I was using the Orange County Public Libraries at the time.
Ah, you're right.
To make sure that I could do it on completely protected computers. So I zipped everything up into a self-executable from my site. You run from IE. And all of a sudden, you've got a screen reader on your screen at a very protected computer. So I was very excited about seeing Thunder on the screen. So I went to plug in my headphones, Jeff, and that's when the aha moment came. Just like you were saying about the sound card. There was no sound card.
Okay, so here's the reason why, right.
And on top of that, many computers that are locked down, or even friends' computers, where is the headphone jack? It's going to be in the back where it's inaccessible.
Yep.
So I started searching for a sound card. I found some, but I really would have liked to put Thunder on the stick also, and I found one card in the world that has both 256 meg of flash ROM on it, as well as being a true sound card with an external volume control right on the stick.
Wow, which one is that?
It's a no-name brand that I import, and that's the $249 version of Thunder RJ. And it actually works. You plug it into any computer. You give Windows about 1 minute to install its three devices, because one device is a sound card, and so it steals the sound from Windows. It gives it back once you take it out, of course. And then it also has this U3 feature, which I disable, actually, but it has the CD portion
of the stick, and then it has the regular memory stick portion of the stick, and it behaves just like the other sticks. You plug it in, Thunder runs automatically. All sound comes from the front, wherever you're plugging USB in. It comes with a 2-foot USB extension cable and earbuds that plug in the front. So it's very cool.
Wow, I'd like to talk to you offline about that, because we don't have a lot of time left here to get into it, but that's very, very interesting.
And the last one of the USB sticks, just to finish the caller's question, are the MP3 player sticks. I just found that in showing these at local NFB and CCB, ACB organizations out here, the meetings last spring, I was showing them on these very blind-friendly MP3 players that I had been using for another purpose, and the people just fell in love with them because all the controls were quite tactile. It was a very simple MP3 player, and it also has oodles of memory on it, so I put Thunder on those also. And these sticks can play podcasts, anything MP3 or WMA. They behave just like an iPod Shuffle, and when you plug the stick into the computer, it's just a memory stick, and off goes Thunder.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, we have just a few minutes left, and I wanted to give Daryl and Rick an opportunity to ask any questions they have in reference to Thunder RJ.
Okay,
Daryl?
So I'd like to be a little controversial slightly and ask, how are you aware of non-visual desktop access, the open source screen reader effort, and how do you feel that Thunder or Thunder RJ stands up to that project?
Well, when I threw my hat back in the ring after I gave up my second time on KeyRead, was actually the name of my product through the 4 years of its development, so to speak, and then I came across Rogers, the first thing I thought was, well, somebody's doing it for free. There goes that idea. I'll just go back to my regular area of people with cerebral palsy, quadriplegics, and the thing that I've been doing for 24 years now. But then I just decided as a lark to contact them and open a dialogue, and they wanted to use their words exactly. They wanted to I can't remember what it was. They wanted to ride the RJ train. My name is very well known at conferences since I helped to start the whole field, and they had been aware of my name and were just very anxious to work with RJ, and I was very flattered. And that's when we just decided that we would make this project a product, even though Roger makes a version of it accessible to everybody, and he tries to make even train schedules available to people online in the UK. I don't really see any type of open sourcing of any other screen readers. We run into several problems when it comes to collaborative community efforts for producing products versus projects. And I've been involved with both, and the projects seem to come and go at people's whim. There's usually one or two people that are strong in the projects community, and the success or progress of that project is based upon those people's times because they have other lives other than just their hobby of putting the project together. The second thing is an actual company behind it that is going to offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. There's going to be an 800 number you can call. Somebody like myself is going to stay on the line as long as necessary. And you know that the company's going to be around, like myself, for 24 years. That's a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
So there's good in... Somebody asked me the other day at CSUN, does it work with the open source office, which is the open source...
open office.
Yeah, open office.
Right.
And I just don't know. All I know is everybody wants Word, and everybody wants IE. And the people who want to do it with Office are definitely a very vocal minority. They want it to work there, but it's just such a small slice of the pie. I always go for what most people tell me they want.
Absolutely.
And I listen real well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we just have a couple minutes left here, RJ, and we wanted to give you an opportunity. We always want to find out from all of our guests to come on to talk about their products. What is the future? And we have about a minute here, so tell us, what do you think the future is for your product and for Thunder?
The largest thing that I can come back to that with, Jeff, is to listen to you and convey to the developers, the actual people that are doing the programming, the urgency that I believe we need to respond to your requests. Over the years, doing my own programming for almost all my projects, I can respond within hours sometimes of somebody's request and get them a new version of something and it just makes their eyes pop out. They'll email back and say, not only did you listen to me, you did something within a few hours for me to try. I haven't had that type of success with the Thunder people over in the UK, but for me that's so important for you online, you in the air, everywhere, to be able to call me or contact me and say, I wish it did, and then for me to get back to Paul specifically, the coder, and say, you know, I think this is really important. And I've had to do this twice already, and I really fight hard, and even when they say they're not going to do it, I just don't stop fighting for a feature I think is important. So the future is trying to make the product just better and better as per your requests out there, so that it really fills that niche of a portable, functional screen reader.
Great. All right. Well, RJ and Rick and Daryl, I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, and
Can I interrupt, Jeff? Can I interrupt for just 1 second?
Sure, yep.
Just take one last thing here. They're indirectly related to Thunder.
Yeah, we're running out of time here, RJ, but go ahead real quick.
Podcast. The other day I made a free MP3 bitrate converter for a friend out here in California, and it's a very blind-friendly, just free bitrate converter for people who have high bitrate podcast or something, and they just need to get it down to a lower bitrate just quickly, and that is at rjcooper.com/thunder-rj. And the MP3 bitrate converter is right on that site.
All right, great. And give us your number.
1-800-752-6673.
All right, or RJ Cooper, right?
That's correct.
All right, great. Again, thank you, everybody, for coming on to Main Menu Live this week. We really do appreciate it. And we're going to be back next week, where we're going to hear from HandyTech all about their Braille displays and all things mobile phone. That's what's coming up next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live. See you next week, everybody.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.